May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't usually use visual aids when I'm preaching, but today I am going to use one. And I'll acknowledge, even as I show it to you, that particularly those of you sitting toward the back may not be able to see too many of the details, but it will be up here after the service, and so I encourage you to come and take a look. It's a print that I know well because it hung over the piano in my grandparents' farmhouse when I was growing up. And you may recall, as a child, if there was something that intrigued you in some way, you may have spent a lot of time going back, looking and looking and looking at it. And this was just such a picture in my childhood, because if you look closely, and I think even from the back you can probably tell, it's a procession of people, folks headed on a journey. They're all headed in the same direction. And as I grew older, I learned that the name of the print was Deiliger Jorden. It's a name of a Scandinavian hymn, a Norwegian hymn. It's a very popular hymn in Norway and I think other Scandinavian countries. This is actually a Danish print. And the text, one verse of the hymn translated, goes this way. Lovely is the earth, glorious is God's heaven, delightful are the soul's pilgrim way. Through all the beautiful kingdoms on earth, we go to paradise with song. And so, of course, this array of people, young and old, women and men, poor peasants and powerful princes, is meant to show the people of God on their way to the kingdom of God, on their way to Zion. I brought that print in today because, of course, we're hearing about a number of processions in our life today. After church, Douglas Witt, our music director, is going to be talking about his experience. It's okay. His experience on a historic pilgrim way across northern Spain, the Camino de Santiago. And in our scripture readings, we also heard about processions. The first was described this way. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor, a great company, they shall return home. The words come from the book of Jeremiah. And the prophetic word is often a harsh one, a word of judgment to the people of God when they have broken their covenant, when they have strayed off the path that God has set for them. Jeremiah is often characterized as that kind of prophet. He lived through the crisis of his people being taken into exile in Babylon. He condemned the injustices that led to the downfall of his nation. But in the center of the book of Jeremiah, there are several chapters, sometimes called the Book of Consolation. That's where these words come from. And they are words that are addressed to the people already in exile, people who have been scattered and forcibly removed from their land. And what we hear in these words is hope, the promise of return, a procession, a parade to Zion. Move through the entire Bible and you will see situation after situation where human beings and human communities end up suffering and are broken apart by their own actions, creating discord. And move through the Bible and time and again you find God is at work, restoring people, restoring communities, and leading them in processions of hope and healing. As Jeremiah describes it, the road into exile was difficult and a destructive one. The road of return will be smoother. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. The road will be smoother, but the journey will not necessarily be faster. For if we listen to the details, then we know that this grand procession will include those who are going to slow it down. It's going to include the blind. It's going to include the lame. It's going to include women who are in labor and women who are with child. It's going to include the impoverished and those in need. It's going to include those whom we've been hearing about week after week in our gospel lessons, the most vulnerable amongst us. In a week and a half, many of us will be processing into voting booths. And we are hearing exhortations from both parties and both candidates to join their particular parades and their way of seeing the world. And if you listen to the debate, on both sides you hear much about supporting the middle class and of helping those with initiative and energy to make a way for themselves. But if we look at the parade of biblical people, we hear Jeremiah and the other prophets with a consistent word. If the parade does not include the widow and the orphan, if it does not include the exile and the sojourner in our land, if the procession does not include the scorned and the rejected, then it is something less than God's procession. The procession will be slower than we think, and it will also be one which more and more people keep joining. Because that's what the gospel procession teaches about this morning. Jesus is walking through Jericho, and a great crowd is following him. And Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, sits by the side of the road. For all we know, that is the place he sits every day. What is different today is that Jesus is passing by. And as he does, Bartimaeus dares to call out to him, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, apparently for the people around Bartimaeus, he wasn't meant to be part of this procession, for they sternly order him to be quiet. But Bartimaeus knows something. He knows that somehow if this Jesus is who he says he is, then he, this blind and poor man, was meant to be included. And so he shouted even more. As one biblical commentator noted, the first time they were shouting in Jericho, walls came tumbling down. This time, a life gets lifted up. For when Jesus invites him to come, the next words that Bartimaeus hears from that very same crowd are these: "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." You know, if we go to the parade commemorating a military event like the Bunker Hill Day Parade, much of the music we hear is patriotic music that inspires us to love our country more. If we go to a pep rally kind of parade before a football game, much of the music are going to be the fight songs for that high school or college that inspire us to want to see victory for our team. But the songs of the procession of God's people, those who are on their way to paradise with songs, they inspire something else. They are the songs of whatever the words we sing today, whatever the lyrics, whatever the tune, there's always a particular refrain that should come resounding loud and clear to those who hear it. And that refrain is this: "Take heart, get up, Jesus is calling you." Recognize the possibility, not just the possibility, but the promise that God is seeking you. And know that God is attentive to whatever pain, whatever poverty you are experiencing in your life, be that financial, physical, spiritual, emotional. And find within yourself your deep desire to be made whole and to be healed. And call out with confidence. That's one way I see our life here at St. John's. Whether it's in our worship, in our work at the Harvest Fair, in the teaching in our classrooms, in finding ways to go out and serve in our community, that our songs, our service, and our sacrifice will be like a procession whose music is always containing that good news. And are we fully there yet? Of course not. Every artist does his or her best to express the truth. The artist of my grandfather's print did his best, but if you look closely at it after the service, you'll see someone walking with a crutch, and yes, there's an older woman with a cane resting for a moment on a boulder by the side of the road. But every artist's conception of reality is also conditioned by a particular context of his or her own culture and time. And if you look more closely at this print, you'll see that for all of the variety of people included, well, they're all decidedly European in their look. And whether they are peasant or prince, there's a similar style of dress. The portrait is incomplete. Every church does its best to express the truth of what it means to be God's people in the world. But we too are conditioned by our own culture and time and by our circumstances. Our procession is incomplete. Does this parade of people yet fully represent the diversity of God's people in this city? No, but we are growing. Our procession is growing larger. More voices are being added to our songs, more and more feet, more and more hearts. But as our parade becomes larger and longer, I hope it doesn't become faster. I hope it is slow enough for those who are in pain, for those who are vulnerable, for those whose gait is different than ours. I hope it's a parade where we too, any of us, can acknowledge the hurts and doubts of our lives and be supported by the voices of others in this community. And I also hope our procession is loud enough. Loud enough for those who may have been sitting by the side of the road for too long a time. Those whose circumstances are such that they have found little reason to rejoice. A confession here, not in the sermon, as I end. I've been here about a year, and the way I come into work on many mornings, I mostly take the train, but when I drive my car, there's a particular intersection where a disabled veteran stands, hoping to engage people as they wait at the light. I found every kind of reason not to actually speak to that person. I'm wondering if I might be able to this week. And if in my words, there might be a song, take heart. Get up. Jesus is calling you. Amen.